then. I believe that's our ring.
I dog is Lum. I believe you're right.
I'll see. Hello, Jotham Down Store. This is Lum and Abner.
Yeah, Grannies, I can't wait to hear how the prince and the squire come out.
Well, as mad as the prince was when he found out Squire's trying to beat him out of $400, I wouldn't be surprised to hear a shooting taking place, Lum.
Oh, he was mad when left out of here. And I don't blame him.
No.
I don't mind losing the $500 they charged me to put on that fake healing of my broke leg, but I do hate to see that Squire Skimp get any of it.
Well, a body'd think he'd at least give the prince half of it. But according to the prince, Squire told him you just paying $100.
Yeah, that's Squire Skimp. Now, Grannies, there just ain't no one thing that feller wouldn't do. He ought to be locked up in the penitentiary and have him throw the key away.
Well, I hope this learns you a lesson not to have no more dealings with him, Lum.
Oh, it has, it has. I wouldn't believe him on oath. Truth ain't in him.
As many times as he's tried to skin us out of money, we ought to know better by now.
Well, the best thing to do is just not to have no more dealings with him.
Or to run him out of the store every time he comes in here.
Yeah.
Very right. It's him trying to cheat old Grandma Masters out of $300.
Well, him and that prince both will get what's coming to them. You just watch what I tell you. Like that old lettered saying of mine, chickens always come home to roost.
Yeah.
I say, chickens always come home to roost.
Did they get some of Grandma Master's chickens, too?
Grandma Master's chickens?
Well, it's about 4 miles over to her place from Squire's house.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, she's expecting them to stay over at Squire's of a daytime and come over to her place to roost of a night. I don't believe it'll work, Lum. Chickens walk awful slow.
Abner, when I said chickens come home to roost,
well,
it'll
take them all day to get over there in time to roost. And then they won't no more and get set comfort on the perch before they'll have to jump down, head back to Squire's in order to be there by daylight.
Yeah, for goodness sakes, Abner.
Them chickens ain't gonna do neither one of them no good. Just walk the fat off theirselves for nothing. And you know a hen ain't gonna lay an egg while she's walking. They gotta sit down and concentrate. I don't see why Grandma don't just slip out there and shut the door when they get over there tonight.
Abner, they don't walk back and forth so
well,
you
a chicken
that.
Can't fly that fur along.
Of course not.
Let's see. They ain't walking and they ain't flying. What's the answer now?
Abner, when I say chickens always come home to roost, I ain't talking about the kind of chickens you are.
Oh, you mean the turkeys? Them half chickens and half turkeys that Grandma's been raising?
No, what I mean, all the things Squire Skimps did will come back to him. Be laid right on his own doorstep. His chickens will come home to roost.
Well, he's got a hen house over there.
I know he has.
Well, why are they done laying on the doorstep then? Why don't they get up there in the nest where they belong?
For goodness sakes.
Front steps or back steps?
I don't know, Abner.
Be a lot handier on the back steps. Closer to the kitchen.
Oh, swan to goodness. I believe that imagination of yours gets worse all the time. I started out to take... Wait a minute. If he ain't got a nerve...
Who?
Squire Skimp.
Well, it's his own business where he keeps them, Lum. I thought they was Grandma Master's chickens there when he...
I mean, he's coming up on the porch out there. You'd think after us catching on to how crooked he is, he'd be ashamed to come over here.
Well, I'll beat that blame.
Yeah, he's coming in. Now, Grannies, we ought to just ignore him. Don't even speak to him. Let him know he ain't welcome in here.
Well, I think we ought to tell him what we think of him.
No, don't say nothing. Grannies, look at his face. Prince must have beat the everlasting daylights out of
it. Mind out.
Make out like you don't even see him.
No.
It long. Abner. Gentlemen, I know exactly how you must feel, and I don't blame you. I stand before you with deep humility, a humble man. I don't ask forgiveness. I only ask that you suspend judgment until you've given me a chance to explain.
What happened to your face?
Oh, a very unfortunate accident yesterday afternoon, Abner. I fell down the steps.
You trip over a chicken?
No, the steps in the house, Abner.
Well, I thought that Lum meant the steps outside.
What's that, Abner?
Nothing. Go ahead, Squire.
Oh, thank you, Lum. As I said before, I've come to you to be judged. I know how you must feel towards me because of certain questionable actions that I've been more or less connected with for the past several days. But even though my face is bruised, the pain I'm suffering physically is nothing in comparison with the mental pain I've endured these last few days. When I was being forced to act as I did towards my good friends here in Pine Ridge. But that's all over now, men. I can speak freely. Now that I've cast aside the shackles that bound me to the will of that despicable criminal who has cast a blight upon our little community.
You mean the prince?
Shut up, Abner. Let him talk.
Yes, at last I reached the point where I refused to be his tool any longer. And at great danger to myself, I ran him out of town. I'm happy to say we are now rid of him. No longer will he be allowed to pay on the innocent people of our little city on the pretense of healing broken bones.
I don't believe I understand all this, Squire.
Well, of course you don't, Abner, and I don't blame you. In fact, I'm going to have a difficult time making all my good friends understand the true facts of the case. But as soon as I discovered he was a crook, right...
You mean you never knowed he was a crook when you sent for him?
Why, of course not, of course not. When I knew Louis, or the prince, he was a legitimate bone healer. But evidently since then, he's fallen into the unfortunate ways of the criminal.
Yeah.
But when I found out after the demonstration the other night, it was too late. And by holding a gun to my head and threatening my life, he forced me to carry out his nefarious plans to extort money from our good citizens. Oh, the mental tortures I've suffered. No one will ever know.
What about me giving you that $500 and you telling the prince?
Oh, the mental tortures I've suffered. I don't even like to talk about it.
I guess not.
Several times I refused to carry out his fiendish plans, but he threatened to expose your fake broken leg, Lum. So naturally I had to carry on to protect my good friend.
Did he sure enough do that?
Yes, it evolved to the point that I had to either protect the good citizens of this community or expose you, my best friend. I weighed one against the other, Lum, and decided that you meant more to me than all the rest of the whole bunch combined.
My grannies, I'm proud to hear it, Squire. I never knowed we was so close.
What about that $100 check from the insurance company that you cashed and kept the money for?
Yeah, that money ought to be sent back to them, Squire.
Yes, the prince forced me to keep that too long. But I'm going to send it back to the company tomorrow.
Well, why don't you just bring it over here and let me send it back to them? And I'll write them a letter and explain the whole thing to them.
Why, yes. If you prefer to handle it that way, Lum, yes. I'll bring it over tomorrow.
Well, good. Now, what about the money you collected from Ms. Davis and that fellow over at Odin for the Prince Gilam?
Well, unfortunately, when I ran the prince out of town, he still had that money on him and I didn't know it. However, I plan to track him down to the ends of the earth, Lum, and get that money back and return it to those good people.
My granny, you better get started tracking him then before he gets too big a head start on you.
Yes, yes, I'm going to do that. In fact, I'd better be going right now. I have to see a man about some bloodhound right now. I'll see you later. And, Lum, I hope you'll try to explain this to all my good friends.
Yeah, I will, Squire. I'll kind of get them not to misjudge you now.
Thank you, Lum. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good day.
Yes. So long, Squire. And it looks like we had old Squire down wrong after all, haven't we? A body ought to hear both sides of a story before he judges somebody like that.
Yeah, maybe so, maybe so. There's Cedric coming in there.
Yeah, just notice Cedric never even spoke to Squire whenever he passed him out there.
Well, nobody in town speaking to him. You've been telling everybody what a crook Squire is.
Yeah, ought to be ashamed of myself. I'll have to straighten him out on that. Come in, Cedric.
Yeah, howdy, Cedric.
Howdy, howdy. I've got a letter here for you, Mr. Lum.
A letter?
Yes, Mom. Mr. Dick Huddleston told me to hand it to you. It's from Pine Ridge, too.
Well, what's somebody in Pine Ridge doing writing me a letter?
I don't know. His mail last night, Mr. Dick said.
Looks like Paul Warner's handwriting.
Yeah, just like that, Paul. He's too dead blame lazy to walk over here, so he just writ you a letter.
Well, I'll be dead blame.
Who's it from, Paul?
Listen to this. Dear Uncle, Must be from the prince. That's what he always called me.
Well, what's that varmint wanting now?
Next time you see Squire, you'll know what happens to mugs that double-cross the prince. Enclosed is $150, which the dame and the guy kicked in for the bone-healing gag. Give it back to them with my compliments. I made the Squire fork it over so I could send it back. I'm keeping your 500 slugs, Uncle, as a lesson not to ever get mixed up with a dishonest crook like Skimp. Signed, Louis the Prince.
Well, I'll be dead blamed.
You see, that's what I say, Abner. You oughtn't to judge a feller till you've heard both sides of the story.